The book of Proverbs is such a rich book. It is a collection. You know, it says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. And let me also mention real quick, and I know we're off course, Chris Spatz, we've been praying for, the Bassett's brother-in-law passed away. I guess it would have been overnight Monday. So anyway, pray for them. Proverbs 1, it's a collection that Solomon, and think about this, Solomon is so wise, and he's got such a burden for his people that he wants to give them the tools they need, the instruction they need to succeed. And so he, and is setting out to show people to value education and understanding and to pay attention in life. There's so much we can learn if we'll just step back, open our eyes, and pay attention. And we'll learn so much. But some, you know, it seems like so much we're just busy all the time and we're not circumspect, as Paul put it, not looking around to see what's going on. But if we just pay attention and be deliberate in our thinking and purposed in our lives, again, you know, so many people live accidentally, haphazardly and recklessly. You know, they go to school because they have to go to school, and then they get out of school and they get a job because they got to have a job, and they go to work because they got to go to work. And there's no purpose, and there's no distinction, and you know, and then they don't have to work on the weekends, and they just either crash and burn, just tired, or they, you know, run hard all weekend, and it's just this cycle that people get into, and it, we've got to pay attention more and have more purpose in our lives, and that's what Solomon's really trying to get. And this is so rich for young people, but not just for young people. I encourage everyone, read a proverb a day, one chapter a day. There's one for every day of the month. And so it's in every month. And it just reminds us of this practical teaching that Solomon was just trying to give people, to give them a step up, to give them a leg up in life. Look at verse 3. Receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. This is the goal. He wants people to have understanding, to be able to do the, you know, to live life well. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, of course, in that verse, he says, you will ask people, you know, look to others. Don't think you have all the answers. Look around. And when people offer you counsel, offer you advice, and, you know, a lot of times parents and grandparents, they don't, oh, I don't want to interfere. I don't want to butt in. But somebody's got to teach them. And if you know better, you got to be the one to step in and say, hey, you know, son, this you got to do it this way. Don't do that. You're making a mistake. I've had people in my life, you know, looking back, I can go back 20 years, and I had people who loved me so much, and they came to me and they said, Derek, think about what you're doing. Think about how this is going. You know, you're making a mistake. You got to step back and look at it. And I appreciate those people. Look, those people loved me, and I didn't fire back at them. I didn't fuss with them. I had to receive what they were telling me. And maybe I didn't do what they wanted me to do, but at least hear and consider the counsels. That's what he says there, counsels, in verse 5. In verse number 6, he says, understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So what's he saying? He's saying, read this. He challenges us to meditate, to really think about what he writes. Really consider it. And of course, Solomon would have us to do that with all of the Bible. But particularly in this book, he's telling us, consider this. There are deep concepts. Grasp them. The rich truth. Hold on to it. You know, think about it. Is it going to change how we think and what we see? And the book of Proverbs, we won't go, you know, all of them tonight, but he talks about everything. He covers everything. Man, he talks about family and marriage and business and finance and friendship and when we're wronged, or, you know, our challenges or our options. He talks about all of that stuff. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And notice that the first six verses are introduction. The first six verses, he's kind of, hey, this is why I wrote this. But then he gets to verse 7, and the very first thing he wants us to comprehend, and he wants us to get our minds wrapped around, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The New Testament says it this way: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Jesus talking to us. We got to put God first. You know, the Ten Commandments, we got to put God first. No other gods before me. And so when we put God, we exalt God and know his place in our lives. I don't just mean in creation. I mean in my life. When God is right in my life in his place, that's the beginning. He said that's the beginning. But if we don't put God in his place as Lord and Master and King and God, if we don't have him as our God and we've got some other God, we're going to be in trouble. We've got to start there. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to learn. They don't want help. They won't take your counsel. They won't take your instruction, even if you have a better way of doing it. How many of you ever worked with somebody and you knew a better way, but they weren't going to hear it? Yeah. They didn't want to do it your way. They want to do it their way. Well, their way's harder. And it's incredible to me how people will do things the hard way instead of doing it the right way. And I know there's not only one way to do things, but, you know, if it's the right way, if it's an easier way and it does accomplish the same purpose, why would we do it the wrong way? Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, I know that not everybody had parents that invested in their lives like some of us did. But think about it, and just in my life, my experience, who is it that has the most to gain or the most to lose in our lives? And they tried to raise us, and they tried to give us wisdom, and they tried to get us on the right course, and they tried to give us instruction. And he says, listen to your parents. They care more than anybody else about your well-being and your development. Verse 9, they shall be an ornament, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You see, if we take the wisdom of our parents, and, you know, some of those things, how many of you can think about something your mom or dad taught you along the years, and you thought, boy, that was really good. Anybody? Okay, everybody says there's something. Now, there's at least something we can automatically think of and say, they were really right about that. I always think about my dad saying, I can't wait till you grow up. I'm going to come lay on your couch when I'm sweaty. I can't wait till you have tools. I'm going to come drag them all over the yard. Right? That's what my dad always said. And, he'd be happy to know it's even now. So now verses 10 through 19, we'll read it. But we go from number one, the introduction, to number two, you know, putting God in his rightful place, honoring our parents in their rightful place. Again, Ten Commandments, right? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. So they're in the right place. But then he comes to this and he says, here's what we need to watch out for. Here's what we need to avoid. You know, sometimes we're not aware, and we go through the Proverbs, as many of you read it daily. You can think about how later he got very descriptive in the cautionary tale of life. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. We've got to be able to tell people no. We've got to be able to tell them no. Why? Because it's for our benefit that we don't go. But it's also, see, once we join them in their sin, all we've done is confirm that it's right, even when it's wrong. And, you know, in the New Testament, again, he says, they think it strange that you run not with them to do mischief, to spill blood. Right? They think you ought to just go along with them. And so when we say no, when we refuse to participate, it gives them pause. Even if they continue into their sin, it gives them reason to pause and think about, maybe this is not a good idea. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. He tells us to resist invitations to do mischief or sin because they want to take advantage of others, the innocent and the weak. And they're seeking easy money no matter who's hurt or even killed. And look at what he says about that trap, that snare for the bird. He said, selfishness is a trap. Selfishness is a trap. I've seen people who are very selfish, very stingy. And I've seen how that, you know, they end up with nothing. They have nothing. But I've seen people who didn't have much but were very generous. And it seemed like they never had want. Isn't that what Psalm 23 says? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord takes care of us, and that's how it should be. You know, I've said before, I'd rather you bring your tithe and ask for help on your phone bill than to use your tithe to pay your phone bill. You know what? That belongs to God. Let's give it to God, and God will honor that. And, you know, that's the good thing about doing it that way is sooner or later, God will dig you out of that. But if we keep taking from God to pay a light bill or a phone bill or the rent or whatever, and we don't give to God what is rightfully His, we never get out of that hole. And I know it doesn't make sense mathematically. I get it. But it's true. Verse number 20, wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words. Now look what he's saying. He's saying wisdom and life's lessons are readily available to those who observe the world around them. If we'll just pay attention. Look, wisdom cries in the gates. It's right in front of you. There are some, I get so frustrated with people, number one, who waste money, waste what we call taxpayer money, but most of it's Chinese money now. But, you know, I hate that they waste government funds. And, you know, unfortunately, we've just been through this disaster. And, of course, all the federal help comes. But you know what? They just waste. And people look at me like I've got three eyes because I say, we don't need it. Stop it. But they just keep throwing stuff at it. Guys, that's the reason we're in the mess we're in. It's obvious all around us. You know, if we wonder, well, why can't we pay our bills? We were having a discussion. So friends of mine, I think it was this morning, and I was offering one of them some work. Well, why don't you sign up for some work? You can make some extra money. Because that's what he was saying. I need some money. I need some money. I said, well, sign up for all. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Well, the wisdom is right in front of you, isn't it? Here's the wisdom here. Here, I'm giving you an opportunity. It's right in front of us. It's crying in the streets. It's not hard to figure out. But we've got to look beyond ourselves, outside ourselves, and get outside of our thinking if we're going to figure it out of what will work. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Do we really want to be in this cage all of our lives? That's the question. You know, and we step back and we look at the the universe. We see the stars, the sun, the moon, the waves, the grass and the trees and the flowers and the animals. You know, we look at our human body and we have colors in our eyes and we can see colors. I know some people are colorblind, but isn't it remarkable that we can see colors and we can hear such distinguishing sounds and smell, you know, such aromas and taste. And God did all of that, you know, in the working of the heart and all of the body systems, how they work. And you want me to believe that came from a one-celled amoeba out of the ocean by accident? Because two, you know, unidentified pieces of matter collided and created the whole world? I mean, you really want me to believe that's how we got here? And you really want me to believe that it's all accidental? And you really want me to believe that this life that we have, though it be for, you know, 70 or even 100 years, that when we reach the end of this life, it had no purpose? I'm speaking to the funeral director today, you know, just chatting a little bit, and he said it's sad how everything's become so disposable. So disposable. And when they're gone, they're just gone. No. Guys, God, before the foundations of the earth, He laid out a plan. And part of that plan was that Jesus would come and die for our sins and redeem us to God. Because the reason God created Adam and Eve in the first place was for fellowship and community. And then they sinned and He said, but I want to bring them back. And so the blood was shed and the coverings were made. And so He could still love them, looking beyond their sin. Because He had a promise and a hope and a plan that one day the Lamb of God would die on the cross and His perfect sinless blood would be shed, and that would end the sacrifice. That would wash away sin. No longer covering my sin, washing away my sin. So that all my sin is gone. Writing my name in the book of life, and Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we know there's a purpose to it. There's a reason. Then when this life is over, when we step out of here, we step into there by faith in Christ. How long do we live in a cage to believe that it's not connected, that it's not designed, that it's not purposed, that it's accidental, haphazard, and reckless? And yet, we bury our heads in the sand and try to say God's not real. And life has no purpose. He talks about the grass and the flowers. And he says, Solomon and all of his wonders was not arrayed as these. All of his beauty. Solomon, you know, all the perfect things that he could put on and all the beautiful things that he could wear. But the creation of God just continues to outshine all of that. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. All we've got to do is be willing to learn. This is wisdom. You know, the narrator is wisdom saying, if you'll just listen to wisdom, if you'll just listen to me, and you'll learn so much. Just paying attention to the world, just paying attention to what I tell you. If you'll turn at my reproof. In other words, when we try something and it doesn't work, why would we try it again? Anybody ever done that? Thought, well, if I try it again, of course I just did it wrong the first time. And we try it again, and you know what? It still doesn't work. You know why? Because it was wrong. I don't know why it was wrong, but it didn't work. We say, you're banging your head against the wall. But we keep going at it. We keep saying, oh, it'll work this time. No, it won't work. If you turn at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you have refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And you say, well, wow, that's kind of harsh. See, if we refuse to learn, we'll not find wisdom. At the moment, we need it. A friend of mine started working out, I don't know, 6 months ago. Somebody called him fat. That's all it took. Every day he works out, every day, every day, every day. Well, then the storm come along. He was out there every day cutting trees, every day cutting trees. And I thought to myself, what would have happened had he not gotten his body in better shape? He never would have been able to perform and to accomplish what he has now if he was still in the shape he had been 6 months ago. You see, wisdom is that way. If we don't start receiving it now, in that moment when we need it, we can't find it because we haven't developed it. We don't know. And when you don't know better, you don't know better. But he says, you know, so here's the thing. Wisdom has been reaching out, calling out, trying to reveal itself to us, and we've ignored it, and we've mocked it, and we've refused it. And then guess what? When we need it, wisdom is still right. Wisdom has the answer, but we don't because we weren't paying attention. It says, I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, verse 27, as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. What's he saying? He's saying it's not something you get instantly. Wisdom is developed. Wisdom comes by observation and practice, by study and by counsel. And if we don't pay attention when we need it, it won't be there. That's the point of the proverb. Verse 29, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, remember that's the premise, that's the beginning, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. They didn't want it, and so it won't be there when they need it. And we have to live with the consequences. Verse 31, therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Why? Because that's what you got. You got what you got. If we want to be better, we got to do better. If we want to be wiser, we've got to seek that counsel, whether it be through study of Scripture, observation of the world, through practice. We've got to learn from our mistakes. And I've said before, my mom always loves it when I say this, my brother backtalked my mother one time that I recall. And he got slapped across the face. You know how many times I backtalked my mama? None. You know why? Because I didn't want to get slapped. And I'm sure it probably didn't hurt him, but it made an impression on me. And I mean, he was, I don't know how old he was, but I would guess maybe 10, 11 years old. It worked. I don't know if it worked for him, but I guarantee it worked for me. So look, I can learn from other people's mistakes. I don't have to go out and test the waters. I've seen people drown in it. I don't have to step into that sin, that temptation. I don't have to be familiar with it to preach against it. I've seen people drown in it. Well, you don't understand because you've never done this. No, but I've seen others do it. And I learned from that. That's called wisdom. Verse 32, the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The simple, or we might say the foolish, they keep refusing it. They don't want it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to learn from it. It's tragic to me how many people you say, well, I was watching the 9/11 documentaries the other night, and one of the guys rescued another guy, and he said, when I pulled him up from under the drywall, he came up and he hugged my neck and he said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? He said, I didn't even know what to say at that moment. And I said, well, I go to church. But, you know, here's somebody who's trying to, he realizes how close to death he was and may still be. And the most important thing, you've rescued me. Now let me rescue you from hell. Do you know Jesus? He's doing that most important thing. But the one who, the initial rescuer, he just kind of, he didn't want to talk about that. Wasn't the time or the place. Guys, they don't want to talk about dying. Let me assure you of something. None of us are getting out of this life alive. Lord will call us up in rapture. That's the only option to get out of here without going through the grave. We've got to talk about death. We've got to talk about eternity. We've got to realize that we all have an end. We can't avoid those subjects. But the simple, they turn it away. Oh, I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't want to talk about church. I don't want to talk about eternity or heaven or hell or dying. I want to talk about that stuff. You know what? And it's a cage that they've put themselves in. They keep turning it away. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, they're rich in their ignorance and rich in their ego. And tragically, we'll rely on what we know, which will be insufficient. How sad. They were satisfied to not be smarter and wiser and to not grow and to not do better. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, again wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Those who will seek wisdom, this is the key, learn how to adapt. They learn how to adapt. They just adjust. I can't change what I can't change, right? And if I can't change it, why would I worry about it? Why would I invest time if I can't change it? Now, that's not saying, you know, that I can't change anything. I can change some things. I can work through some things. But there are some things I have no influence, no control, no power. And so why waste time and energy and emotions on it? Adjust, adapt, and continue to grow wiser. The book of Proverbs, I don't know that we'll carry forward from this. Somebody particularly asked if we could cover it. But that's what the whole book is like that. Just wisdom after wisdom after wisdom saying, wake up and pay attention, open your eyes, listen to what's going on around you. Look at what's going on around you. And don't forget to put God first. Father, we love you so much and we're grateful for this text. We are mindful of those who can't be here, Brother Andy with his knee. We pray you'll touch him and so many others that have needs. God, touch our bodies, our spirits, our minds, our homes. Lord, show us your way. Show us wisdom through your word and by those you put in our lives. And help us to be wise counselors to those around us, to always point them toward you and your way. Dismiss us with your grace. Bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.